Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show slash podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to Big Pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show slash podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Well, the hardcore stuff is just is fast, very aggressive, and loud, you know, music, angry music.
I'm your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487 or swing by flexyourhead.net and send us an email with a request.
Hi, this is Martina Navratilova, and I know you're a hockey fan, but there is some tennis from Daryl Wiener and CITR.
Thank you, Martina.
Changes have
Welcome, everybody, to Winners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Lots to get into on the show today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Coming up on the show today, folks, we finally are able to get on. We've been waiting for this for a long time now. The head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds, Sean Olson, will be with us. We'll also be talking to the starting quarterback for UBC Thunderbird men's football, Billy Green, and Claire Hanna from the still-perfect UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team will also be with us on the show today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Walking alone at night can be scary.
Stop right there, student. Why walk alone when you can call Safe Walk? The safety and comfort of everyone on campus is important. That's why we're here.
Safe Walk is a free, student-run foot patrol service with two-person co-ed teams that will meet you and accompany you anywhere on campus to make sure you get there safely.
Keep an eye out for our bright red reflective jackets and signature foot logo, and let your next walk be with us.
What a huge relief! Now I'll never have to worry about the terrors that could happen when walking through such a big campus at night.
For a walk, you can call 604-822-5355. Use one of our direct line phones located in some of the campus libraries. Use one of the big blue phone booths. Or even ask campus security to contact us.
If you see walkers around campus and you'd like them to accompany you, stop and ask.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
All the things she been seen, guess you better find your way back home.
This boy and girl look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date. Dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
World-famous Blue Chip Cookies. Located on the main concourse of the sub, Blue Chip features yummy baked goods and cookies made in-house. Blue Chip opens at 7 a.m. to serve all your early morning latte needs and has proudly served certified fair trade organic coffee since 2004. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Where's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. Vancouver, Canada. wacky. On the show today, we're going to have, hopefully, the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Sean Olson. He's the guy I've been championing for a good month and a half here on the show. Finally, UBC on Wednesday. Took him about, 2.5 months to do it. Finally announced the new head coach, and Sean Olson, the former Vanier Cup winning quarterback from back in 1997, last UBC quarterback to win a playoff game for the Thunderbirds, and, you know, coached offensive coordinator at SFU, was announced as the new head coach of UBC football. I am for that decision. And we're hoping to have Sean with us on the show sometime shortly. Also on the show today, we'll get his thoughts. The starting quarterback for UBC, Billy Green, actually went to the same high school as Sean Olson, was heavily recruited by Sean Olson when Olson was the offensive coordinator at UBC. So we'll talk to Billy Green also on the show, and from the UBC women's volleyball team, Claire Hanna. Okay, we're going to take another break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Sad. Myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, we're talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports, please listen.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. And where were you there, Mr. Head Coach?
Where am I? I'm in the office right now.
I called you a couple times just now.
I was actually speaking with another coach, unfortunately. It was a very serious and important conversation that I could not get away from.
I believe it. With us on the line, the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds, their former Vanier Cup-winning quarterback, the last quarterback to actually win a playoff game for this program. That was a long time ago. Sean Olson. Sean, congratulations. You're the new head coach, UBC men's football.
Thank you very much, Daryl. It has been too long for the playoffs, that's for sure. I did not even know that stat off the top of my head, but I'm hoping that I can win the next one as well. And I'm just excited. It's crazy. It's been whirlwind week and a half since the whole interview process went down, and I got the job, and I'm overwhelmed and excited and working long hours, but it's a great experience, and I'm fired up.
What was it like going through this interview process, Sean? I talked to you a couple times, just the two of us, as this was going on. 2.5 months, you were the offensive coordinator out at SFU, waiting to hear about the UBC job. Had to be a tough 2.5 months there for you, hey?
Yeah, it was difficult on a lot of fronts, just because you end up, I'm a pretty loyal guy, and you end up being torn a little bit in your head. I tried to keep all the thoughts of what might happen way in the back, but it was tough. I wish it would have happened a little bit sooner, but everything happens for a reason. I think there's a saying that that goes that way, and there's got to be some reason for this, and I'm just happy the way it ended up.
Cool, and no hard feelings, you and Dave Johnson there, you got nothing but good things to say about him?
Yeah, no hard feelings. I mean, Coach Johnson and myself, we have a long history together, and he's doing a lot of good things up on the mountain, and he taught me a lot. He gave me my opportunity to come back to the CIS and to Vancouver, and so I owe him a lot. And I don't have much bad to say about him. He's a good man, and he's doing a lot of good things up there.
Cool, Sean. Let's get into this football team. Let's get into your job, okay?
Okay, all right. Let's do it.
UBC football. Before we get into your current team, I mean, you were here, back in 97 when you won the Vanier. You were here when Dave Johnson, the incident happened with him and Noel Thorpe down in this same student union building at Pi R Squared. And what just from looking at it from the outside, what's gone on with this UBC program the last 11, 12 years?
Well, I think, it was sometimes you just get into a rut, and I think that's more than anything what happened. I think there was a couple people that were really good people that were in this position that it just didn't fit for whatever reason. And even only being in this job for less than a week now, it's a tough job. There's a lot of facets to it, and I have a lot of respect for anyone that is a head coach at a collegiate level for any sport. And so you're trying to juggle 10 or 15 different things at one time, and it's a tough thing to do, and it's a tough thing to do well, and it's also a tough thing to get wins and losses, which is the ultimate judge for a college coach, you know, and the way I try to approach it, and hopefully this will be lead to success on the field, is to not just think about wins and losses. I try to deal with the day-to-day, you know, the details of what it takes to be successful, and try to win the little battles every single day, and then hopefully that'll lead to winning some games on Fridays or Saturdays. But you know, again, I think they were on the right track a little bit with Coach Deloria, to be quite frank with you. I think they had some good seasons, and I think they were moving in the right direction, and I think things just got a little sidetracked, you know, that's the way it goes in life and in sport.
Sean, this football team right now, just hearing some of your clips from the press conference, you like what you hear from the offense, you like what you see in this offensive line, you seem to like a lot of the pieces in the offense. You mentioned, you know, and we saw definitely against Calgary this year, and you know, you guys, teams were really able to run on the team. You were a little critical on the front seven, maybe a little upgrading there. What is your current assessment? I know you've only been on the job for a week and a half, but you know, coaching at SFU, you've got to see UBC a lot over the last couple of years. What is your assessment of this football team?
Well, I think the big thing is it lacked a little competition, to be quite frank with you. I think they had some very, very good starters, and they had some guys that could get the job done, but there wasn't a lot behind them. And what was behind them were young guys. And the reality of college football is, you know, when you're young, it's hard to compete, and the CIS is even tougher, I think, than the NCAA, because the age discrepancy sometimes is a little bit more pronounced. Sometimes when you're 18 and you're trying to compete as a first year guy versus a 24 or 25 year old man, that's a whole different ball of wax as far as physicality. So I think that's a little bit what happened at UBC here. You know, I think we have some good young talent. I really do. And the key with that is you have to develop them. And that's what you do in the off season. It's the atmosphere. It's the chemistry that you try to create. And that's what we're trying to build here. We're trying to build a true program in the sense of all facets. And that will be really the determining factor of how successful we'll be, and not whether we get this blue chip or this kid or that kid or how tall our left guard is compared to the right tackle of University of Saskatchewan. It comes down to how much the kids care and buy into what you're telling them.
Sean, you know, you mentioned all facets, and one of the things that is a big facet of a program is getting the alumni back involved. That's something where a lot of people, you know, everybody would agree. You had to step on everybody in the interview process. Are you doing that? Is that already in motion, getting the alumni back involved? And the second part of that, how did all of you guys end up at SFU on that coaching staff, Sean?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm definitely trying to do what I can. I've tried to reach out to a few key alumni, and we're definitely going to try to plan some events where, you know, hopefully a bunch of people can come out and reconnect with myself and hopefully give some suggestions on maybe what we can do with the program. And there definitely has been a lot of support. But I want to make sure that it's not just a, you know, a rush of support after some, the hiring, and that it continues. And that's going to take some work, and I plan on hiring some people to help me in that department. You know, that will have a very big role in alumni relations, and I think it's also just to give them a call once in a while, and not always just ask for money. I think it's important to, you know, to give them something from time to time, whether that's maybe a keychain or a free pass to a game or even just a call to introduce myself and say, hey, how you doing? I'm Sean Olson. You might have played with me or you might have heard of me, or I don't know. But I think, you know, that's the key, and that's what we're going to try to do. But the initial support has been great, sort of turning back people as far as people wanted to get off their hands and be a part of UBC football again.
Is that something that, you know, we'll go back to Frank Smith and Casey Smith and Dave Johnson, and before you came here, I don't know if you saw it before you came here, but when you were here at the beginning, you could see it had a strong alumni support?
You know what, it's funny, when you're a player, sometimes you're a little bit oblivious to that, and I don't remember thinking about that. I think you don't really notice until you're actually maybe a coach or actually alumni. And but I think that that's something that maybe we can do a better job of making it a bit more visible and having players out to events and having interaction. I mean, that kind of networking can only help our players that are here right now that are one day going to be looking for jobs. And I think it really helps the alumni, again, connect, have that emotional connection to the football team. It's one thing to watch and cheer for the Thunderbirds, but it's another thing to have met Dave Boyd and then watch him run for 200 yards against somebody. You know, I think that's a whole different level of connection that hopefully we can bring on some level to our alumni and at least provide that opportunity for them to get to know us as players and not just numbers that they see on the field.
All right, John, give us some names. And, you know, you mentioned some hiring for parts of the coaching staff. Give us some of the people you're bringing in, or can you tell us names right now?
I'm probably going to make some announcements towards the end of the week. You know, it's an ongoing process. I'm really trying to evaluate everything. I'm trying to be, very diligent about the whole process of evaluating what has happened here before I really try to give a new direction. I will change the structure a little bit. We're going to have a recruiting coordinator, someone that is going to be full-time looking to secure good players and build relationships and find talent across the country. You know, we're obviously going to have a full-time defensive coordinator. I do want to say that Coach Jeremy, I think, really has done an outstanding job during his time here. He's a guy that I strongly consider for that position. I think he's got a lot of positives. And to be honest, the few days that I've been working with him here, I really get along well with him. And I think he might have been the glue that really held this team together over the last couple of years. But it's a process. It's got to be the right new direction. And sometimes that's tough to do with the people that have been around. But I should have an announcement, hopefully at least on one of the staff members by the end of the week, and the other one shortly thereafter. I have so much work. I need help. Crazy.
Awesome stuff. So, Sean, but sticking on, that is a big one. Dino Jeremiah, the defensive coordinator position, currently you haven't made a decision yet.
No, not as of yet. And, you know, it's a two-way street, too. You know, it's obviously this has been a bit of a process for him as well. You know, he was up for the job and probably as deserving as myself to get it, and he has a lot of put a lot of heart and soul into this program, and you know, that's disappointing. And it's got to be the right fit for him as well. So it's not just, you know, whether I want him back, it's also, does he want to be back? And sometimes that's hard to do. So we're still talking and we're trying to figure out what the best situation is for UBC football, and I just don't have the answer just yet.
Okay, and any of your people that worked with you out at SFU, are any of them under consideration for jobs right now?
For position coaches, Coach Rintel will be with me. I don't know if that's a good thing, but he'll be coaching receivers this year. In some regard, we might also have another receiver coach depending on time commitments and stuff, but he's definitely going to be around. And there's a couple other people that I'm talking to that I have close relations to, but again, nothing's been finalized. And usually position coaching or honorarium coaches, they usually take a little bit longer because there's so many other little details with life that have to be worked out concerning, you know, time constraints and what the expectations are.
So Scott Rintel, he of the morning show at the Team 1040, will be the receivers coach here at UBC football.
I know, unbelievable, huh? Keep trying to replace him, but he proves his worth all the time. It's annoying.
There you go. And Sean, I asked you this one. Schrumble.
Yep.
You guys are keeping this thing going.
We are. Yes, we are. I'm fired up about it. I think it's going to go back to the old format where alternation of rules from year to year, which is kind of traditional, and I like that. It'll give our guys an opportunity to play the American game, and it'll give the American playing guys up on the hill there a chance to get back to the Canadian roots, and it should be exciting. I think it will spark that rivalry again. I know it's been there the last few years, but it's different when it's the Schrumble, and that's the only game. And I'm looking forward to it. I know Coach Johnson up at SFU is also looking forward to that game.
And my understanding, is it a conference game for them? Did I hear
it? It will be, yeah. It will be a conference game. It counts.
But not for you guys, obviously.
Not for us, no. It'll be an exhibition game.
Okay, I do have to bring this one up, Sean. I had Dave Boyd on a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And he said to me on the air that communication was a problem with the last head coach. You know, it wasn't a guy they were comfortable going into the locker room and talking to him. I did get a lot of stuff from him. It surprised me a lot. you are going to work on communicate. What is your, you know, communicating? You are going to try to be a good communicator with these kids.
Yes, I definitely am. That is that's sort of one of the reasons why I coach. I like the interaction with the players. I enjoy it when they come in and talk to me. I was one of them at some point, and it wasn't, you know, I like to think it wasn't that long ago. And I know what it's like to be on that side, and I think really the best way and the only way I'm ever going to get the most out of each of these kids is to get to know them and to have them get to know me and have that relationship be built. Otherwise, I'm always just going to be working on a certain surface level as far as motivation and getting the most out of them. So that to me is an essential part of this job. It's a part that I enjoy. So it's not something that I have to, poke myself to do. So at times I will have to kick them out of the office if we're communicating too much, let's say. But that's something that I'm looking forward to as well. So hopefully it's a good mix for what they're looking for and what my coaching style is.
Right after you, Sean, Billy Green is going to be on the show. Obviously, we've been reading and hearing, you know, same high school. You recruited him heavily out of Holy Cross, tried to get him to go to SFU. Now you got to coach him at UBC, his third year. Tell us all about Billy Green.
Well, you know, I mean, he's a guy, honestly, I thought he was quite possibly the best quarterback to come out of high school football in BC, at least that I've seen. He's got a world of potential. I think he just needs to be tapped into. He needs to be put in a situation where he's comfortable, where he's not asked to win the game until he's ready to step into that role. And I think that's at the quarterback spot, that's one of the best things that happened to me when I played here, is that I was allowed to grow into a role of being sort of the quarterback or the man or what you think about, where you might have to step back and throw 35 times to win games. And that's what I want to do for Billy, because so much of this is confidence, so much of this is experience. And, I think to some degree he didn't have a chance to sort of grow into the position. He was kind of thrown into it a little bit, maybe quicker than was best for him. Not necessarily we're going to take steps back, but we're definitely going to give him a system where he has support, where he doesn't feel like he has to do everything on his own, and we're going to allow him to be Billy Green. And that means we'll run him a little bit. I'm a big fan of running the quarterback. All the Wildcat stuff, I like it when my Wildcat is the actual quarterback on your team. We're definitely going to bring in some competition for him too, which I think is another key component. He needs to know that if he's not getting it done, there is someone behind him that will get it done. And that's also something that I've told him quite early, and I think he's looking forward to that. I think any competitor wants to be pushed. So, Billy, the sky's the limit for him. I think he needs someone to show him what he needs to do, but the sky's the limit, and I'm looking forward to getting my hands dirty and then working with him.
There you go. So not guaranteed the starting job.
There's no guarantees for anyone. There is no, literally, on our team, there is not one guaranteed starting spot right now. He's going to have to earn what he gets, and the advantages are all in his favor. I have a chance to work with him over the next however many months, 4, 6, 7 months. I have a chance to talk to him about offense. He will be so far ahead of anyone we could possibly bring in that if he doesn't win the job, it'll be because that he got beat out. But every guy on our team is competing for playing time. That's one of the things when you have a new coach. That's the reality.
Awesome. Sean Olson. Sean, thank you so much for doing this today. Congratulations once again.
Thanks, Daryl. It's good to be back at the point talking to you. This is like a time warp.
No kid. And Sean, I do have to say that you're mentioning of easing Billy Green in, and you got to do it, but you got to hand off to two guys called Mark Nora and Akbal Singh back then.
Exactly. I'm hoping Dave Boyd and then maybe someone else's name can be penciled in there at running back, where we can do that same type of thing. And play action is a beautiful thing for a young quarterback. And that's something I believe strongly in, and it just makes things a little simpler. And it's amazing what you get a little confidence, and all of a sudden you're able to do the hard things when you got some confidence doing the simple things. So that's sort of the approach I take.
There you go. Thanks for doing this, Sean. And it sounds like you better get back to work, eh?
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Thanks, man. Take care, Joe.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Olson, the new head coach for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. He sounds very excited, and it is an exciting time here for UBC men's football. He's the guy I wanted all the time, and I'll go back and say it, is out of all the players I've ever seen here at UBC. Sean Olson in the male sports. Sean Olson was the best leader as a player I've seen. And it's kind of funny. You're watching it. You're following it. You're trying to figure out who the coach is going to be. Now that's happened. Okay, Sean, here you go. Best of luck. And you did hear it. Dino Jeremia, not, you know, they've yet to decide officially who their defensive coordinator is going to be. Dino Jeremia being considered for that position. And it sounds like Sean might make an announcement by the end of this week. One coach who is being brought in as a receiver coach, those of you that listen to sports radio in this town, former UBC Thunderbird, Scott Rintoul. Actually, used to do the color commentary on this radio station. So Scott Rintoul will be the receiver coach, or one of them, it sounds like, for UBC this year. Billy Green, who's going to be on with us right after the break here at about 5:10, sounds like he's the odds-on favorite to be the starting quarterback. I'd be very surprised. I mean, Sean's trying to push him. Sean's saying there's going to be a competition, but when you look back at the lineage between these two, how heavily Sean recruited him out of high school to come to SFU, now Billy's got 2 years under his belt. You know, they're going to work together. I mean, you know, who knows when Sean Olson's going to be able to bring in another recruit to compete with Billy Green, but I'd be very surprised. I mean, it's definitely Billy Green's job to lose, and then some. And then another big one, the Shrum Bowl. You know, this is a great thing, and, you know, I could tell talking to Sean there, he wasn't going to slang anybody. He wasn't going to talk about that, because there was not a good relationship, my understanding, between SFU and UBC here, the coaching staffs, the last few years, and I just kind of felt if I asked Sean, he wasn't going to give me anything. But with him and Dave Johnson running the show, Shrumble back on, and that is great to hear. I would have been very critical of these guys if they didn't do that. I think it would have been a crime. SFU obviously going to NCAA Division II. UBC might be joining them shortly, but in the meantime, the Shrumble will be going on. Interestingly, counts as a conference game for SFU. Didn't get into it with Sean there, but what if the games are out here at UBC? Because the way it's going to work is whoever the home team is, that's whose rules we get to play, which is how it used to be when SFU was NAIA and UBC was CIAU at the time it was called. But, you know, it's going to be, that's an interesting question. When it's at UBC, say it's at UBC this year, and does SFU really play a Canadian college rule game and have it count towards their conference standings? Anyways, who knows? great to hear that Sean Olson is the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds, though. And, you know, it's a tough road ahead, but, yep, is the guy I wanted. And you could hear it, a lot of enthusiasm there. All right, everybody, we are going to take a little bit of a break here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Coming up, the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds, Billy Green, will be with us right after the break. And then at 5:30, from the still undefeated UBC Thunderbirds women's volleyball team, Claire Hanna will be with us. If you're listening at the very start of the show there, I was playing Long May You Run by Neil Young. You know, that, of course, had to do with Conan O'Brien's last show. Neil Young was the musical guest, and Long May You Run was the song played. So there you have it. That was one. I tried to get the, you know, the actual show version, but NBC's kind of blocked the YouTube footage, and I don't know, it was a little, I couldn't figure it out in time. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Sean, last thing here, was announced as the head coach on Wednesday. There were six candidates, is what I've been able to gather. There were seven, one dropped out, and the names, you know, still don't know for sure, but the names we heard, Sean Olson, of course, who got the job, Dino Jeremia, the defensive coordinator at UBC, who we still don't know, and I'm hearing from what Sean said, I'm gathering we are going to know by the end of the week. He was also considered, and the name just sort of floating around, Gary Echeverry, that Western Washington coach Ross, used to coach with the Oakland Raiders linebackers for a little bit. And then we heard John Stevens, the D coordinator for the University of Calgary, and Craig Dickinson, the special teams coach for the Calgary Stampeders. So Gary Etcheverry, of course, the defensive coordinator for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So some big names, lots of experience, but Sean Olson announces the head coach for UBC, and I say best of luck. All right, everybody, we are going to take a quick break here on 101.9 FM. We're going to stick with UBC Thunderbird men's football right after the break. The quarterback for the team, Dave Boyd, is going to be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Second down and 18 for the Clan to throw 37. We got our streaker.
Here's the streaker.
Davies drops back. He's going to throw.
Threw it to the streaker.
And the streaker, I think, got Simon Fraser a first down. And we got security getting after him. He's into the, Sam, you call it.
He's into the end zone, and he's breakdancing in the end zone bare naked. He's being chased by security, and he's going to the hill. Security fell down.
Go.
Security is gone.
Go. He's gone. For
get
the
up
injury.
The fence.
Oh, he's
go.
Go. Go.
He's going to make it out of here, folks. He's going to make it out of here bare naked.
He's got to climb the fence. There he goes. Oh, he's going to do it with the jump of an Olympian.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Morning.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, wait a minute, what the hell? Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
All right, let's go to the bank.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Where's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With us on the line, starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds, here to talk about the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team is Billy Green. Billy, how you doing? Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm good, thanks. Just hanging out, you know, having a nice night.
Enjoying the weather, are you?
I am enjoying the weather. It's nice that it's not raining. I get to go out and throw. I like it.
There you go. There you go. Well, Billy, sometimes you got to learn to throw in the rain, don't you?
Yeah, you do, especially living out here. It's luckily, I grew up here, so I've been used to it. But if you don't have to do it, I prefer not to. So I've been lucky through my life not having to throw in the rain very much. So
there you go. Although it does rain a lot in Vancouver.
It sure does.
Billy, your thoughts. 1-7 last year was your football team.
Yeah.
Some people consider you 3-5 because of the two. What do you consider your record last year, Bill?
I consider it right now 1-7, but in 5 years when they look back, it says 3-5. So you never know what happens if the ineligible players that weren't playing, you can't really say, but it was 1-7. We didn't play very well in certain times, so yeah.
Billy, your thoughts on really looking back, though, before we get into looking forward, yep. Your thoughts on the 1-7 season.
It was tough. We came in feeling pretty good. We knew that we were still young, but felt that we would be competitive in a lot of football games, and I felt that we were. We showed times where we were competitive. But training camp, we lost some key guys on defense, and first game, we lost a couple more guys on defense, two guys on offense, and I think it ended up being six starters ended up getting hurt. And that was tough, but it gave a lot of guys, some freshmen, an opportunity to play. We had two freshmen middle linebackers who got a lot of playing time who were expected to be special teams guys, but came in and got a lot of experience, and that's going to help us even more next year.
Ted Gavaya, your former head coach, fired, of course, 2.5 months ago. Your thoughts, Billy, on that move?
I think it was necessary, for sure. It was we needed a culture shock in our team. It was something that Coach Gavaya did so much for this program, but it didn't pan out for him, and you can't blame him. There's factors that you can't control, injuries, everything like that. But I believe that we are now moving in the right direction.
And Sean Olson, yeah, tell us about this guy, a guy who heavily recruited you coming out of Holy Cross, his former high school, former Vanier Cup winning quarterback right here at UBC, which is something that's very exciting. Billy, he's actually the last quarterback to ever win a playoff game. At yeah. UBC, back in 1999, Billy.
It's a long time ago.
Yes, it is. Billy, your thoughts, Sean Olson, and really the relationships you guys had, sounds like, before he even came here as the coach.
Yeah, for sure. I've known Coach Olson for probably about 2.5 years now. You first came into contact with him, I guess, September of my grade 12 year. I actually didn't know he played at my high school until about a month into him recruiting me. My principal actually came up to me and he's like, you know that Coach Olson asked if you played here, right? And I had no clue. I had only heard of a couple other guys who had played before me there. But he recruited me hard to go to SFU, and it wasn't the right situation for me. And I told him, from day one, I was like, for me to go to SFU, it's going to be very tough. I'm not a fan of the campus, factors like that, but he showed me a lot, and he came to all my games, told me, hey, if you are looking to go to UBC, I can help you. I know that. Just he was great about that, and that showed me a lot for him becoming the head coach here, and I believe that he was a very good candidate, and I am very, very happy with the decision that Bob Phillip made to hire him.
And from a quarterback's perspective, it also has to be nice to have a former quarterback as now the head coach, eh?
Yeah, it's a big thing for me. Before, you can't really relate sometimes if you haven't played the position. You just can't see something sometimes. And you're like, well, I couldn't see it. And then somebody gets mad and they're like, no, like you should have been able to see it. But I am really looking forward to learning from him. I know a couple of the younger quarterbacks at SFU and they're like, Bill, you're so lucky to get Coach O and everything like that, and I knew already, but I didn't know kind of how hard he works with his quarterbacks, and I need that. Like, it's going to be great. I've never had somebody, he'll be here all the time, just to go, hey, let's go work on some technique stuff. And that's going to be huge for me and my development, and I'm really excited.
I just had him on the show, Billy, and Sean mentioned that, you know, he likes to kind of run the wildcat offense sometimes, but his quarterback's actually that wildcat guy.
Yeah.
Mentioned that he likes to have that quarterback running. You know, you ran for 89 yards in 8 games last year. That's not that many yards. You ready to do a little more running this year?
Yeah, that was one thing coming to UBC that I did a lot in high school. I carried the ball probably every second play, and I feel that, I still feel that that's a big part of my game that I didn't get to use here in the last 2 years, which watching him be the offense coordinator at SFU and watching his quarterbacks run, I was getting jealous because I was like, I don't know how many carries I've had actual run plays, but it was probably about 10 last year. And that was a major thing coming into this year for me in the offseason before Coach Kavai got let go, was for me to run the ball more. And with Coach Olson getting hired, I believe I'll get that opportunity, and I'm really excited about it.
Another one, a couple things is, you know, there's lots of talk that there's a lot of SFU players who, because they're going Division II, these fifth-year guys, some of the fourth-year guys, because they play junior football, are ineligible for the NCAA.
Yep.
A lot of talk that a lot of those guys are going to end up here at UBC this year. What's that situation going
to
be like?
I haven't really talked to anybody who knows a lot about it, but I've heard rumors like everybody else. There's tons of guys who are interested in moving over, and with Coach Olson getting hired here, a lot of guys on that team like him. And I think that we could get some guys who can come over and contribute, and I think that's really what we need. We have a lot of young guys who have a lot of talent, but at the same time, we kind of need those fourth-year guys who have played 3 years in CIS already, who know what the game's about. They're bigger, they're stronger. They can compete with the guys who are in Saskatchewan, who are a little bit older, the guys in Calgary who are very talented. And I think that if we get some of those players, it will benefit our team greatly.
Sean Olson also mentioned to me that no player is guaranteed a starting job, and he seems really high on, you know, getting players to fight for those positions. Is that something you're ready for, and is this something that's going to be good for the team?
Oh, it'll be great for the team. You always need that competition in practice. You can't go into camp, I've got this job locked up, and everybody's got to put in the effort in the offseason. They got to hit the weight room. And I think he made that point very, very good last night in our team meeting. He told everybody, you've played 3 years and you're a very talented player, but if you don't work hard, he doesn't want that on his team. And that was great for me to hear because I work hard and I try and get my teammates to work harder. But hearing it from that coach, I think that helps everybody know that, hey, let's make sure we're in top physical condition, be fast, be strong, and that will help us to get more wins.
Is Scott Rintoul a good receivers coach, or does he stink?
I have no idea.
Don't know yet, hey?
Don't know yet. Okay. I hope he will be a great one. I like my receivers, and I like them. I need them to help me, that's for sure.
There you go. And another thing that I think is great is the Schrumble still is going to be on. That's something Dave Johnson at SFU and your now head coach, Sean Olson, you knew they were going to get that one put together, but they did it.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be a conference game for them, an exhibition game for you guys, which I still can't believe, because if the game is here and it's Canadian rules, I can't see it being a conference game for them, but we never know. You know, Schrumble, I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of animosity between these teams, a lot of negative animosity between the coaches. I don't know exactly what was going on. That seems over. It seems like the Schrumble, great to see it still together, hey?
No, for sure. The Schrumble is a great tradition. And just being able to get it worked out that we're going to be able to play it Thanksgiving weekend, it'll be good for the communities, everybody. Hey, like, them leaving, and I don't understand how it could be a conference game, but if they're going to do it, then they can. So hopefully we can win, and they'll have a loss. But the animosity between the coaches, I don't really know. I didn't pay attention to a lot of the stuff when it was going on. I kind of just stayed back and helped however I could with answering questions with the athletic department and saying this is what our team kind of needs, helping them along, and just kind of didn't pay much attention to that.
There you go. And Sean Olson never told me that. So we have a date. It's Canadian Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was. I talked to Bob Phillip at the news conference the other day, and he kind of just mentioned they put in, from what I understand, a 2-year plan We're going to alternate. This year, it's going to be here at home. Thanksgiving weekend, that's going to be the weekend that they try and do it all the time, because now that we have six teams in the league, that will be a generic date off for everybody in the conference from just kind of understanding it in quick conversation. But this year, from what I know so far, it will be Thanksgiving weekend here at UBC.
There you go. That's exciting, eh?
It is very exciting.
There you go. Billy Green with us, starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds. Safe to say you're excited about the head coach, eh, Billy?
Oh, I'm very excited. It's a great opportunity for me. Won a Vanier Cup here in 97. He knows what it takes to win. Just with talking to him, he's so excited to work with me, to work with the whole team. And I'm excited, definitely, to learn from him. It'll be my second offense that I have to learn in the last 2 years, and it will help me broaden my understanding of the game big time. And, no, definitely very excited.
And you're also looking forward to being able to run the ball again.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have some work to do to kind of get my vision back a little bit when I run, but that will definitely come back, and it's something that's very exciting for me.
Awesome. Thanks for doing this, Billy. And, enjoy throwing in not the rain right now.
Exactly. I will. Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Billy.
Okay.
Billy Green, the current starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. Joining me in the studio right now. You made it.
I did.
You made it. Wilson Wong. So, Wilson, you were at the news conference on Wednesday. I love for this show, it could not have been farther away, like the day of the announcement to today.
I believe that's 6 days.
But it was even, I did it at 4:30, so like late in the day on Tuesday.
Right.
And then it was what, noon on Wednesday?
Yeah, 12:30.
Yeah. That's awesome, hey? It's like a full week.
I don't know what else to say.
It's like a full week almost went by, you know? Almost went by.
Because, you know, for a time there, you thought they were going to announce it on Tuesday.
Bob Phillip, the athletic director of UBC, because if you remember when he was on, I mentioned to you, if you remember that.
I was here.
That he said they were going to do it on the 19th, and I said, it's my birthday, and I'm golfing on the 20th.
That's right.
I do this like little charity golf thing. And Bob Phillip called me the next day.
Right.
I didn't talk to him, but I got on my machine saying, I was so flattered, saying, Daryl, for you, we're going to do the announcement on the Tuesday. And everybody thought it was on the Tuesday, right?
See, for a moment there, I thought you were joking, you know, after you had told me what Bob's message was supposedly.
Right.
But, you know, after a while, everyone kept saying it was Tuesday, and then I read it in the paper that it was going to be on a Tuesday, so I thought, okay, they're going to choose the coach on a Tuesday.
Not true.
It changed.
Like they did several times in this hiring process. Yeah. That was a gong show, hey? And it really, what was the coup de grace of it was that they did the announcement on Wednesday.
Right.
But everybody knew on Tuesday. We got to do a whole show last week talking about Sean Olsen as the new head coach.
Right.
We got to do that last week.
That must have been nice.
It leaked pretty quickly. It leaked. It leaked. Your thoughts on Sean Olsen as the new coach? I mean, what did you gather from that press conference? Can you gather from
Well, I mean, everyone's there because they, you know, they're happy, right? So, just, you know, for far as you can tell, everyone's pretty excited, everyone's pretty happy, and we'll see how it goes from there, right? I mean,
You're right, yeah.
I mean,
it's done now, right?
They hired Jay Prepchuk, you know, however many years ago. I'm sure they were happy with that choice, I'm assuming.
Lou DeLaurier, Ted DeVaya.
You know, every time a new coach is hired, there's so much positive things that could happen, right? So that's what you want to focus on. Hey, here's a guy who really wants this job, has all these great plans. You know, the team is in a pretty good position. Let's see how he can do, right? I mean, we got to, you know, if you really wanted to see you know, 3-4 years from now how it goes, you know? I mean, that's really how what matters, right?
I spoke with Bob Phillip today.
Right.
And where I was critical even last week is I found it very funny because Sean Olson was the favorite early on.
Right.
And they took 2.5 months, lost out on recruits, I think it's fairly safe to say.
We don't know that, but I mean, just from knowing how things work,
yeah,
we would assume that, you know, a couple of kids didn't wait around to see who the new coach was going to be.
And he told me what happened was everything you heard was actually true. One of the people from the committee couldn't make it. One of the coaches couldn't make it to an interview.
Right.
And they ended up actually in the end, they had it down to 7. One coach dropped out and they actually interviewed 6 people.
Right.
Okay. I don't know. I still think when you look back at how it all took place, this could have been done by Christmas, which was the original goal. When you look at the fact that Sean was hired in the end, I guess there's being diligent, but I'm just interested to know. We'll never know, but were recruits lost out in that month? I don't know. But it's done now, so who cares? The names who are on that list, apparently, we have John Stevens, defensive coordinator for University of Calgary.
Not the Philadelphia Flyers, former Flyers head coach.
Was that his name? That would have been cool. Craig Dickinson, Dave Dickinson's brother, special teams coach for the Stampeders. What was his name? Glenn Ross?
I think it's Robin Ross.
Robin Ross from the Western Washington team. Gary Echeverry was apparently on that list, Saskatchewan Rough Riders defensive coordinator. Dino Jeremy, as we know, and Sean Olson. One of the complaints people would make here is that when you put Sean up against your Gary Echeverry, Robin Ross, not John Stevens, but Craig Dickinson doesn't have that experience.
Right.
But any comment on that?
Well, Bob was, I mean, several people asked Bob this question several times.
Right.
You know, and I think it's a fair question to look at all these coaches and their experience and then to compare it to what Sean has. But, you know, Bob very much was complimentary about Sean's ability to his skills, you know, his interpersonal skills, his people skills. That's what he said was very impressive and maybe what sets him apart. So, you know that. I mean, Sean's a very engaging kind of guy, and I think that's going to be very important when you're talking to kids who you want to get into the school. And you know, he's closer to their age than anyone else, right?
Right, so, yeah.
I think Bob also said, hey, you know what? I'm also the guy who's hired a lot of different first-time coaches, and they've been pretty successful here. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where you could have hired the most experienced guy, and maybe it wouldn't have worked out.
Well, the other one that Julio Caravata brought up is because when this hire, you know, Adam Rita's name was popping up. You know, that's what was fun about this. All useless speculation, right?
Well, you know what? I must say, Bobby Bowden didn't get Bobby hired.
I still can't believe they passed on Urban Meyer, actually.
Our choices actually weren't even on the list.
We were way off. One thing, though, that Julio Caravata brought up is, you know, you mentioned a guy like Craig Dickinson, for example, with special teams experience in the Canadian Football League. Well, Julio says it's all about recruiting here.
Right.
So who knows if these guys, this is the Adam Rita thing. Who knows if Adam Rita would have been a good recruiter?
Yeah.
It's totally different. And then where Sean also had a leg up, according to Julio, was all these guys would basically, besides Dino Jeremiah, all these guys would be coming in pretty fresh in who these recruits are and where the maybe Gary Echeverry, who coached here some years back, might have had an idea. But you know what I mean? Like, Sean was with SFU. He's right in there.
Yeah.
He almost has to do...
In terms of that aspect of it, it would have been him and Dino.
Yeah.
And Dino had been out recruiting guys for UBC already. But, I mean, it would have been pretty hard to go from...
Nothing.
Well, I mean, a position coach.
Yeah.
Which is what most of these people were, to someone who has to take care of, like, all the aspects of a football team. Right?
Yeah. She's in studio.
Yes.
I didn't know that. You should stick around. You should grab another headset.
I should actually go get her.
Yeah. She knows where to go. You're leaving me right now.
Don't worry. I'll be back.
Okay. I had two more points to ask you. Wilson, you're going. Claire Hanna from the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, currently undefeated, has just arrived. Hi, Claire. We thought we were doing this on the phone.
No, I wanted to come and make an in-person thing.
Great to see you.
Okay, where should I sit?
Sit there. Okay. But we're not ready for you just quite yet.
I can leave, or I'll just sit here.
No, sit here.
Okay.
Get comfortable.
Okay, I'm ready.
Wilson's grabbing another headset. All right. You're listening to Weir's Barbecue. You're on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. We'll finish up with our UBC Thunderbird football coach talk in a minute here. In the meantime, I'm going to promote what is going on here at CITR on the weekend. Is we've got a Thursday basketball broadcast to do this weekend. UBC will be taking on SFU. This weekend at SFU, a men's game at 7 o'clock, and it'll be the men and women at SFU at 3 o'clock for the men on
Saturday. For the men.
What's that about?
And it's SFU.
I guess so. And the women are going to be on at 5?
Yes.
Well, we're out early.
I guess.
We got a party on Saturday this week. And what do we got going on here Fridays?
Volleyball.
Who are you playing, Claire?
We're playing Manitoba.
There you go. 6 and 8. We're doing both. Before we get into our interview with Claire Hanna, Claire, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Wilson, we gotta wrap up the football coach talk here.
Sure.
Speaking with Sean Olson, Dino Jeremia, we're gonna find out. It sounds like by the end of this week, he's in the hunt for the defensive coordinator position, but nothing's guaranteed right now.
No. And that's what happens when you hire a new coach. There are people maybe he wants to bring on board, but Dino's, it's pretty amazing the fact that he's sort of been around this long.
And so we'll find out at the end of the week. And last one here before we move off of it, Schrumble on Canadian Thanksgiving.
That's nice.
That is good, isn't it?
Hopefully some people will come out.
Well, one thing is with Dave Johnson and Sean Olson, it does, looking back, there was some bitterness between those two coaches. We don't know, do we?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the one thing that really kind of pissed a lot of people off. This year, for the Schrumble, the biggest event in university on both campuses, let's face it, because most people around the Lower Mainland, they don't really know what's happening. But when you say Schrumble, they kind of know what's going on. They kind of know what it is. UBC SFU football. And for whatever reason, the two schools, in every past, you know, every year, they usually get together, have a press conference, and they have all the mainstream media come out, and they have players, coaches do interviews, and then that's the stuff they put on the air on Sportsnet, on CTV, on Global. And this year, for whatever reason, the two schools couldn't get together.
In what was probably the last year, we thought at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been the last Schrumble, and the two schools couldn't get together. I mean, that was a joke.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the reason was, but I mean, why would you shoot yourself in the foot that way? Well, I mean, this is the only chance in the year you can guarantee that your school will be on every major sportscast in Vancouver. And they didn't, I don't know what they did or didn't do.
There was no Schrumble this year?
There was no Schrumble press conference.
Oh, okay. I thought there was just no
There was Schrumble. A Schrumble, like, although
not that I ever pay attention,
most people would say only one team showed up for that Schrumble.
UBC lost 30-1.
Oh, nice. We got a point.
That's the spirit.
Well done, Claire. Well, closer to the microphone.
Okay, sorry.
Come on, you know how to talk here.
I'm shy. I'm shy right now.
What? How could you be shy?
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
All right, so that's the end of our UBC Thunderbird football. Well, we did over an hour on that today.
You like your football.
We've been into the coaching hunt. We'll say, though, we're going to end the show today. I opened the show with Long May You Run. You know what I'm talking about. Friday night, Conan O'Brien. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to end with I Found It on, like, funnierdie.com, the Freebird, Will Ferrell singing. That's neat, eh?
Claire looks a little lost.
I love that.
I'm like, what are we talking about? I heard Conan, so I'm guessing it was something in his...
Did you watch his last show?
No, I didn't. No. I don't really care about all that stuff. I'm not a Leno fan. I'm probably Team Conan, but at the end of the day, I don't really care.
So you can't really be Team Conan if you missed the last show, can you? And or had no idea what we're even...
No.
Did you know it was last week, the last show?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
But you gotta hand in your... Fox, isn't he? And isn't he getting like $30 million?
$35 million, yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? I'd be pretty freaking happy if I was him.
Because they're actually saying, you know, for $35 million, you can't actually work for 7 months at least.
September, yeah.
That's not bad.
Until September.
Right?
Forced holiday.
That's awesome. With $35 million in your pocket.
With us in studio right now from the two-time defending champion...
Oh,
no,
yeah.
You're raising the roof, are you? You're raising the roof. UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team is Claire Hanna. Claire, how you doing?
I'm good.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
She's a friend of the show.
A friend of the station.
Yes.
A friend of the station.
Ooh, is that better than most people? Are there any enemies of the station?
Oh, we got lots.
Do we? We've kind of... Still? Really?
I don't know.
They're out there. Okay.
They're out there.
Claire, this is the stat. What? Oh, you're getting a little worse here. What's going on?
What?
Well, for a while, you'd only lost two sets. Now it's seven?
Yeah, but can you notice that we haven't lost any games?
Wilson, what's going on here?
I don't know.
Where's the next person at? We've lost seven sets. What's the next person?
16.
Okay, that's like more than double how many we've lost. I think we're doing pretty well. I can't believe I'm getting beefed. I came in prepared to talk about how well we are doing, and here the first thing is, you've lost seven sets. Thanks.
In how many matches, Daryl?
15. They're 15-0.
Okay.
They've won 45 and lost seven.
So they lose a set
that's
every
like
other
match.
Just under every other match.
Yeah.
Just under every other match.
So that's pretty good, isn't
yeah.
it?
That's not bad.
Okay, you know what? I'll try to work on that record for you.
Claire, amazing start for your volleyball team. 15-0. Here's really the question is, you know, you are the two-time defending national champions, but you've never put up numbers like this as a team through this stretch, correct?
I don't know. I'm like in my sixth year and I have no memory anymore. And so I can only remember the last weekend.
Honestly,
I think, we're having a really good season. I think it was in my second year that we had a pretty good season. It was like 19-1 and we're 15-0, you know what
right.
I mean? But it's going well. Like, whoa.
Sorry.
No, I'm happy with it. I think we're all really happy. But like I said, we've got Manitoba this weekend, who's second in the country. And I think this weekend's really going to tell a lot about where our team's going to go or what we have to work on, things like that. So, and we're all looking forward to it, you know. This past weekend, we had Calgary, and I don't know what they're ranked. I think they're something in, like, fifth or sixth. It was just so annoying because sometimes you want a team to come out and just play well, and they didn't. And you think you're going to get hunted against. But you know what I mean? Like... Okay, when you're number one, it can be scary because everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants to kick your butt. And so usually teams play extra hard against us, but this weekend that didn't happen. And so I was like, you know, you kind of just, come on, take the bait.
Are here. You saying that because you're from Calgary?
No. No, honestly.
It sounds like, so that's pretty funny. It's, you know, you hear people come on and they're very happy that they got a win. She's like, oh, God, why did I even get out of bed for this game, you
well,
know? Like,
I'm not saying it like that, but I'm a little, you know,
it was a little disappointed.
Yeah,
it was a little disappointed. You wanted a challenge.
Let's play hard volleyball, you know?
So what happened last weekend then?
Well, we won both nights in three sets, and I'm not saying they were easy games. The first night, I think it was like 26-24 in the first set, so it was tight, you know what I mean? But then the next two sets, and then the next night, Saturday... just kind of felt like we were in the driver's seat, like with the pedal down
right.
significantly. So, it just, there was not that many glitches, you know. I'm not saying we played our best volleyball, but we didn't need to play our best volleyball to win handily.
Your opponent this weekend, as you mentioned, the University of Manitoba, 12-3 on the season. You're number one, they're number two. This will be a fun one, hey?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, you know. I'm knocking on some wood here. Because we are definitely not cocky, right? We know that we've got some faults. We just want some teams to expose them. And I'm not going to say what those faults are, but... this weekend...
Why don't you tell us, and then maybe we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah, I don't know. No. I don't want to jinx ourselves. But the team has, like, a lot of really strong players. A lot of the girls played Team Canada. A lot of girls on our team play Team Canada. They've got really strong offense. We've got really strong offense. We match up really well against this team. It's just going to be about who comes to play, you know? So...
Cool. Who's been your biggest competition, though? Because, you know, we are getting a little close to the playoffs. But actually, before we get into that, this is pretty big. But actually, that is the topic. Sorry, Claire. But are you guys a little peeved that you're 15-0 and just with the Olympics and the way everything's set up, you can't host Canada West Final Four?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, man. Okay, well, we've been talking about that all season because there was rumors that potentially if we were to host Final Four that it might be at UBCO because then at least we're sort of at home, you know what I mean? But, like, no other team has the advantage. We sort of have the advantage. We only have, like, a, you know, 5-hour drive as opposed to flying, all that stuff. And then we just found out earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, I can't remember, that whoever is first... if it's a BC team, not just us, but let's say it's Trinity Western, you know, SFU, Thompson Rivers, no BC team will host Final Four this year, and it will go to the next top team outside of BC. And so, when we heard that, like, we were, I don't know, I guess...
Oh, so you found out officially today?
No, we found out I think it was just a couple days ago, like, right. Earlier this week. Maybe it was last week, I can't remember, but I don't know, it's... It sucks to give the advantage to someone else after you've worked so hard. Okay, you know what? We don't even know if we're hosting. Just as of yet, we would be the one to host. But, you know, some gyms use a different ball. Like, they've got this ball from the Dominican Republic, okay? And I know this is crazy. But we use a ball from Japan, and it looks the same, but when you touch it, it is not the same. And when we came back right after Christmas, we were playing in Regina, and Regina used this ball, and, like, it took, I'd say, like, a complete night to get used to it. We were just like, what is this thing? It's heavier, it's slower, you have to, like, push it to make it go places, and so the fact that a gym could be hosting that uses this ball...
The Dominican Republic.
Yeah. You know, we don't like the Dominican ball. But anyway, so that was a side note. But I don't know if you guys are aware. There's kind of a little bit of superstition going around. You know what's happened the past 2 years? Have you heard?
Nope.
Okay. Well, last year was Alberta and the year before Manitoba. They were number one in the conference all year, hosted Final Four. And typically it's the top three teams from Final Four that go to Nationals. And both of those years... they lost. Alberta lost last year and Manitoba lost last year. Neither of them qualified for Nationals while they'd been on top all year.
Right.
So our team also has this other angle. You know, maybe it's okay that right now we're a number one and we know we can't host it because some of us are superstitious and we don't want to have to, you know, go through that whole thing.
Wow. There's so much to keep in mind.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, just talking about that, number two is Manitoba.
Yeah.
So when you if you win first,
yeah,
and if you get to the Final Four, you could be heading to Winnipeg.
I know. We've thought about that. Trust me. Well, you know what? Let's just say thank God Brandon's not up there right now.
Brandon's 10-4.
Yeah, what are they?
They're only two wins back of Manitoba and Alberta.
Oh, describe shit. Brandon. Now, okay, so...
And hold on, to finish that off is... you play Manitoba this weekend.
Yeah.
And then you play Alberta.
Yeah.
Next weekend. May I suggest a tank?
So are you saying we could throw...
Lay down. Lay yeah. down.
And yeah. then so you can go to Brandon.
Or Winnipeg. No, no, you don't want to go to... you lose to Manitoba and Alberta.
Right, right. So Manitoba.
You don't have to go to Brandon.
And basically, I think, you know what? I think it's something like Brandon and Alberta still have to play each other too. I don't know. You know what? Things could get messy in the next couple weeks.
But so, sorry, go.
What's wrong with Brandon?
Oh, man. Okay, well, you know, we have to fly to Winnipeg and then drive 2 hours to Brandon. So, that's like 6 hours right there.
Right.
And then in Brandon, oh, the hotel has like the worst beds. It's like the tiniest little room ever. A&W's across the street, and then there's like a Tim Hortons across the Trans Canada, and I swear every time someone's gonna die on the Trans Canada Highway. It's literally the number one highway, you know. And we have to, I don't know, we never get to rent buses. We have to, or no, rent vans. We always have to rent, you know, the big Greyhound bus.
Right, right.
And so we have to coordinate, you know, what time we're going for dinner. It's just there's no freedom. They don't have a booster juice, and like booster juice is huge for our team. Okay, and there's not one booster juice in Brandon. They had one and it shut down. So there's just, look at all this stuff against Brandon.
So what's with booster juice?
So basically, you'll be happy if, like, why don't you just buy a case of it before you go?
It's have you ever had a BJ?
Wow.
Okay, Daryl, honestly though, have you ever had a booster juice?
Should I answer that?
Daryl, honestly answer. Have you ever had a booster juice?
We should have had like three recordings of this interview.
That is fantastic.
Have you ever had a booster juice?
No, I have not had a booster juice.
Well,
he's also not a national national volleyball player.
Let's go back to the BJ.
Okay.
Booster juice. I have never had a booster juice.
You can't just buy it and keep it for days.
Oh, you can't.
It's sort of like, it's got a little bit of, like, cold property, you know? It's like a smoothie. It'll just get all runny if you leave it even past an hour.
It'll anyway. Be gross.
Have you ever had a booster juice? I've never had
a booster juice. Go to the Village right after this and go get a booster juice.
I can't afford one.
I know, they are, like, $5 or $6 each. But I swear, it's almost like a meal.
I get that bubble tea.
Okay, that's okay, but it's the tapioca balls are only fun for shooting.
That's true.
Have you ever tried...
Well done, Claire. Back to this, though. And then we is...
Back to volleyball.
Yeah, well, hold on. It is interesting is you're 15-0, and it's a 20-game season?
Yeah.
You got 5 games left. And you're 3-up on Manitoba. You play Alberta. They're 3.5 back of you. So, really, these teams have to sweep you, and you've lost 7 sets in 15 matches. It has to be a bit of a kick to you guys, the fact that you're having such a great year. It looks like you've pretty much, you almost have it clinched right now, the top spot in the conference, and you can't host or nothing.
It's okay. Let's go back to the superstition thing, because we're honestly all a little happy, because, you know, that number one team has gotten screwed over the past 2 years, so we're okay. That's another angle. We're just okay that we would not host.
But you want it to be either Winnipeg or Edmonton, and a big reason, Wilson, is so they can get their booster juice.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say Edmonton. There's a booster juice right down the hall from the gym. In the university. You don't even have to go outside.
All right, so you play Alberta in 2 weeks.
Yeah, at Alberta.
Maybe.
So they'll do well again there, because there is a booster juice.
No, but I'm saying they should let Alberta win, maybe.
Right.
You know what? We let Alberta win. They host Final Four.
And you get
then
your
booster. Then we for sure, I think, would go to Final Four.
Well, yeah, because and it then, says it here. Yeah,
no, Alberta. And then you know what? Since Alberta's hosting Nationals, everybody goes to Nationals. So I say we throw it like that.
And Doug Reimer's on the line.
No, no. But it's, you know what? This is going to be really interesting what happens in the next couple weeks.
Cool.
So who's
the tougher team, Alberta or Manitoba?
We haven't played either of them, so I can't answer that.
Just what a weird season to have all this stuff to be sort of around the team when you guys are just trying to win and keep that streak going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to be kind of cool.
Okay.
2-time now, you guys?
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, big smile there.
That was really fun.
Big came back for a third.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hopefully.
Pretty much, yeah. Knock on wood.
So the Final Four, so it's the second weekend of the Olympics.
So if we were to make it to Nationals, the Olympics wouldn't showboat Nationals or anything.
That's good.
Right, there you go. Yeah, so, no, it's afterwards. That's after the fact. Cool, good stuff, Claire. So Friday night on 101.9 FM CITR Radio.
So what do you know about Manitoba?
Well done.
Wait, the team?
The province.
Or the place?
First, the province. Tell us what you know about the province.
Okay, it's in between Saskatchewan and Ontario. It borders on the 90th parallel or whatever.
The 90th parallel.
Or 99th or something. It's cold. They have a lot of bugs there in the summer. Is this honestly what you wanted to ask me?
I don't know where you're going with this question.
I don't know. Okay. I don't mind Winnipeg, to be completely honest. It's just the additional Brandon trip. You know, right. That's just a little far for me.
What about the team, the Bisons?
Okay. No, they are solid. Their setter plays for the national team. She went to FISU this summer for the... Serbia. She went to Serbia with FISU this summer. Their power hitter played for the Team Canada A team. Their middle played for the Team Canada, you know. Everybody, there's a lot of Team Canada players. Another power was a red shirt for Team Canada, so it's honestly a big matchup. There's a lot of good talent on that team.
Okay, one last thing. Not volleyball related at all.
Okay, but not that any of this conversation has
been. No, but it is related.
Booster juice.
But it is related to your modeling.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, give us the gist in 30 seconds.
Okay, go on to UBC's Next Top Model. It's on Facebook. It's a webpage. And vote for Claire. I think I'm losing by like 13 votes right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, we don't have 13 listeners,
UBC's Next Top Model.
UBC's Next Top Model.
Yeah, I'm a top 3 finalist, so help me out.
Okay.
I thought there were 5.
For the girls. There's 3 girls, 3 guys. 1 girl, 1 guy get chosen.
Right.
So. Cool. Good stuff. Claire Hanna. Claire, thanks so much for being here today. Very much appreciated.
Thanks.
She's got to stay for this, though.
Yeah, no, we're going to finish up.
What is this?
Well, we're playing Freebird from Conan's show.
Oh, okay, okay.
You didn't watch.
No, so I will be involved in knowing what's happening. Freebird.
I guess they, can they hear it?
I think so. They were into it.
Yeah.
They were into it.
Who were they, by the way?
I have no idea.
All right.
I have no idea. So you watched Conan.
I did.
I saw Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I watched
Friday,
the whole week.
I didn't see Monday.
It was getting pretty vindictive, so I was watching the whole week.
Yeah, but it slowed down by Thursday after he had signed his agreement, right?
Which is sad.
Wait, so is this the actual last clip of
the
Conan
very
show?
Last?
Yeah,
the very last ever.
This is it
for now.
For now, till he joins like the Fox Network or something like that, right? So, yeah, there you have it. It is "Freebird," sung by Will Ferrell,
right?
Apparently, that's his real wife in the background there.
Oh, and she's Preggers.
Yeah, she's Preggers.
Prego my ego.
Ben Harper is there. Beck. And one of the guys from ZZ Top.
Not bad, hey?
Yeah. No, it was awesome. And his band, of course. Right. And Conan comes up and plays the guitar. And we open the show with Long May You Run, Neil Young, who was the last guest.
Right.
Last musical guest, just before this.
The song is about his car, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought the last week of Conan was actually quite spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, eh? And you have no idea. No idea.
There was a very there was a very expensive car dressed as a mouse.
Yeah, which turned out not to be a real clip.
Yeah, though, sadly.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right, that's it for the show. We're going to end it off with a little Freebird from Conan O'Brien's show. Mike with Fletcher Head is... Hey, Mike. Coming up right after me, thank you to Claire Hanna for coming in. Best
Thanks.
Of luck versus Manitoba on the weekend. Thanks to Billy Green, quarterback UBC Thunderbirds, and Sean Olson, the new head coach of the football team. All right, here's a little Freebird. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
Now, here to close out our show are a few good friends led by Mr. Will Ferrell.
Conan, I just want to thank you for having me and my lady Dawn on tonight. And if you're wondering, yes, she is with child. I want you to strap on your axe and get over here. Let's lay this sucker down. What do you say?
Do it!
Yeah. Let's lay this sucker down.
CITR 101.9 presents the Ice Cream Social at the Pit Pub.
Ice Cream Social, your favorite weekly night of 50s and 60s dance tunes, is coming to UBC.
CITR DJs Tyler Fedchuk and Cam Dales will be down at the Pit Pub on Thursday, January 28th from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. with cool tunes and sweet deals on drinks.
Support your independent campus radio station by coming down to the Pit and partying with us.
This is Tim from Wait in Vain, and you're listening to Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.